So I'm going to start a series today on the life of Abraham. He really is called the father of our faith, the father of faith. So I know most of us have read the story of Abraham. What I want to do over this next little while is just slow down and go through it slowly. Take a look at it. Look at what God was doing in him, what God was saying to him, what he was saying through him. Could I get some of these lights? So if we could really just slow down. I think one of the ways we read the Bible sometimes, we do our devotions, we read quickly through things. Sometimes we need to slow down. There's so many good helps that we have now in this world, in a computer world, in technology. We have different things. There's great technology. There's Bible Gateway. There's a program called esort.net where we could take the Bible, read commentaries, read all kinds of things, and just understand what the scripture is really saying, what the scripture is really talking about, what the context of it is, so that we can apply it to our life better. So that's what I want to do in this series. I want to kind of just go back to the basics. Abraham was a man who came out of a secular, really polytheistic society, and he served one God. And he went against culture, he went against trends to become the father of faith. He didn't start out as the father of faith. He didn't start out as this great man of God. His father was actually an idol maker. He probably grew up in an idol shop, if you read history. His father was very steeped in idolatry. And Abraham was probably taught that. And he had to break away from that as God spoke to him, as God called him into a life of service and worship to him. So what we can learn and what we should learn as we read and as we study the book of Abraham or the story of Abraham is how to go from where we are to be a person of faith. And that's where we want to go. We want to become people that actually live and walk by faith. The Bible says without faith in Hebrews chapter 11, it's impossible to please God. So we need to do that. We need to develop in our faith life. This really is a journey that we are all on. And we need to approach it and pursue it with determination and singleness of heart. We need to get our hearts right with God. We need to keep moving with him and toward him and for him. We don't have to. We are his children, but God wants us to live a life with him. We need to go for him. I hope this series will be really good for all of us and that we'll all grow from it. Here's the thing that we could draw some strength and hope from. Abraham probably had a couple of people in his life that knew about Christ. Noah was alive until Abraham was 58 years old, history says. And Shem was alive until he was about 110. So there were some people in his culture that knew about the ways of God, had seen God work. Noah saw God save him and the whole world went. But he also saw the world turn again away from God. But Noah predominantly walked this life of faith alone. He had to fight culture on his own. He had to go on a word from God for many, many years. He had to trust in what God had said to him and follow after God without having all kinds of support systems around him, without having all kinds of help, without having a Bible to read, he had the oral, stories that were passed down through the generations, but he did not have a written word. He didn't necessarily have, as we do, where we can look back through history and see how God worked through the years and what God did. He didn't have Jesus. He didn't have the Holy Spirit. He didn't have all these things. We, as believers, We will probably go through a lot of the same things Abraham went through. And we'll be confronted with a lot of the same challenges, and we'll probably feel a lot of the same doubts and pressures that Abraham did. But thank God, we don't have to do it alone. We have each other. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God. And we could follow him. But just as Abraham was a man that lived in a godless culture, a culture full of idols, we do. And just as God was calling Abraham out of that culture, he's calling us out of that culture. Just as he was calling Abraham to live a life focused on him, one God, then he was calling us toward that same life. And it's easy for us to look back in time, in history, and say, well, they went to these temples. They worshiped all these crazy idols. They did all this stuff. But in many ways in our culture, we do too. And we need to learn to worship one God. So I'm going to look at, we're just going to read a piece out of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 12 here. This is called the Bible Hall of Faith. It's sort of like, going to a Hall of Fame where you'll go along and you can see a picture and underneath it'll have a little bronze, tag and it'll tell you a little bit about that person. And this is sort of what it is. It kind of gives a highlight of the lives of these heroes of the faith and it tells a little bit about their life. So this is what it says. By an act of faith, Abraham said yes to God's call to travel to an unknown place that would become his home. When he left, he had no idea where he was going. By an act of faith, how many of you guys, right, seriously, could get away with, if God spoke to you, packing up your family and going to a place that you don't know anything about? How many of you could talk your wives into that? We need to read these things and understand what really is being said here. This is not just like, oh yeah, sure, God, no problem. This was big time challenge. This was big time decision. God had to speak to Abraham. God had to speak to Sarah. Sarah had to follow him blindly in faith and trust that he was really following God. This is a serious thing. By an act of faith, he lived in the country promised him. Lived as a stranger, camping in tents. Isaac and Jacob did the same, living under the same promise. Abraham did it by keeping his eye on an unseen city with real, eternal foundations. A city designed and built by God. By faith, barren Sarah was able to become pregnant. Old woman as she was at the time, because she believed the one who made a promise would do it, would do what he said. That's how it happened, that from one man's dead and shriveled loins, there are now people numbering into the millions. And we see that this day, really in this time in our history, there's the Israeli people, Abraham's people are in the news every day, numbered in the millions. So we see this. This is a wrap up to Abraham and Sarah's life. This little message on the bronze plaque underneath the picture telling about what made them stand apart. The highlight reel that spoke of faith and in trust for God. This was their story. This was their thing. This is how we get to look at them. But the truth is, I don't know about you, but I want to end up in that hall of faith too. It isn't done. It's not finished. It's not over. There's not a lack of room. There's room for another picture. There's room for another plaque. This is what it says in verse 40 of Hebrews 11. God had a better plan for us. That their faith and our faith would come together to make one completed whole. Their lives of faith not complete apart from ours. We play an important role still. Your life is not meaningless. Your life is important. We have something to do. We have something to accomplish. God is calling you. Just as he called Abraham and Sarah to come out of that generation, God is calling you. He's calling me. So what can we learn from this faith journey of Abraham? We want to take a slow walk sort of through this and see what God did and what Abraham did and how that played out. But we need to do this in our life. I would really encourage you all as we go through this over the next maybe couple weeks, maybe a couple months. I don't know how long it will take, but there's a lot in the life of Abraham. Get your Bible out, open it up to, I think Genesis chapter 11, the end, it starts just sort of the lineage of Abraham, and then it goes on into his life and read through it. Get out, your computer, do some research online to the land of Ur. Go check, what it was like in Abraham's time. Get out the commentaries and see what they have to say about Abraham's life, because there's a lot to learn. I've been enjoying this morning even. I got up, really early. I've been getting up about 5 o'clock on Sunday mornings and can't sleep anymore. And I finally decided this morning, well, I'm just going to get up and pray, because there's no point trying to fight it when you can't sleep. And I really enjoyed actually my morning, because I got my Bible out. I read through the story of Abraham again. And I just got my phone out and started just doing some research again. And some of the things that the oral history in the Jewish, history of Abraham is pretty interesting. I didn't have a lot of time to really research back and make sure that everything I read was, on the level. Because sometimes you read on the internet, I don't know if you guys know this, but you read the internet, and sometimes things they say on it aren't really true. But anyway, I read a few different sites and different things on it. But, Abraham was actually, his dad, the history says, was actually an idol maker. His dad had 12 main gods that he served, one for every month of the year. He was persecuted, Abraham, almost from birth. It was recognized that he was already a man called by God even from birth, that he was at one time thrown into a fiery furnace, and he walked out of it. Pretty cool stuff. I never knew before. I'm not positive it's true, but it was an interesting story. But just read through and just start trying to get into the life of Abraham. So what I want to say first is God called Abraham out of a sinful way of life to serve him. God called Abraham out of a sinful way of life to serve him. I want to try and explain how big of a deal that was. That God was asking Abraham to leave his way of life, to leave his religious upbringing, and to go against the culture of the time. Again, he lived in a culture that was polytheistic. If you don't know what that means, I have a little joke to help you with it. Do you know what the word politician means? It comes from two Greek words. One is poly, meaning many. The other is ticks, meaning blood-sucking leeches. So politician, many blood-sucking leeches. Joke. Sorry. So we got the poly part down. It's many, right? Theist is God. It's about God. So they serve many gods, right? Abraham's family served many gods. And the predominant god they served was Ur. In Ur was the moon god. The moon god was sort of in charge of tides and reeds and abundance. So they would worship. There's still, they've uncovered ziggurats or little kind of like pyramid type temples to the moon god. And they actually have all this. You can look online, you can see the pictures of it, where they've done the archaeology and uncovered all these things, these temples to that god. Historians, again, believe that Abraham's father had 12 gods that he worshipped, and he actually built idols. So Abraham lived in an idol shop. And God called him and said, Abraham, I want you to worship me. I want you to worship me. So that time, you would bring offerings to the temple. And you would try to appease the gods. Because if you didn't appease the gods, then you would pay. So if it was getting close to harvest time, you would go and make a sacrifice at the temple of the god who was for the harvest, the god of abundance or the god of harvest. And if it didn't rain, you would go make an offering at the temple of the god who was in charge of rain. And if you were, if you were barren as a woman, you would go and make an offering at the temple of the god that was in charge of fruitfulness or fertility or, and all these different things. There was all these gods for all different parts of your life. There was gods for everything. And the idea is that you had to keep giving them offerings so they didn't get ticked off and squish you like a bug, right? So the people were afraid. People were in fear. People had all kinds of superstitions about the gods and what the gods would do. Many people didn't actually believe in the gods, but they didn't know for sure, so they would go make the offerings anyway. And if the temple was getting a little short on money, the priest would come by and encourage you and just threaten you a little bit about what would happen if you didn't give your offering. So this was the culture Abraham lived in. His family business, they had many sheep and goats, and they had like a lot of flocks, even their family. But part of the family business was idolatry. But they had this big family business, and he was part of it. Him and his dad and his brothers together in this business. And when he made up his mind to worship the one true God, the whole family had to go into a panic. Because now Abraham isn't sacrificing to the idols. Abraham isn't making a sacrifice for the harvest. Abraham isn't making a sacrifice for this and for that. And every time there was a challenge in business, the family probably went to Abraham and tried to do one of those interventions, right? Come on, Abraham, you got to straighten out here. We got the whole family business is on the line. There's so much pressure probably for Abraham at that time to turn back to the old ways. I could imagine even Sarah's barrenness was blamed on Abraham worshiping only one God. And we like to think that Sarah was this perfect woman of God that did everything right, never did anything wrong, but we know that isn't true because she already laughed when the angel said you're going to have a baby and all this stuff. We know she wasn't perfect, but I could imagine that many times at that time of the month where all of a sudden she found out, I'm not pregnant again. I'm not pregnant again, and laying beside Abraham in bed, just being upset and crying. And Abraham, why won't you go make a sacrifice? Abraham, why are you doing this to our family? Abraham, come on, will you just do what you're supposed to do? Why don't you just be like everyone else so we could have a baby? I can't imagine Abraham lying in bed sometimes and thinking, am I doing the right thing? Am I really doing what's right for my family? There's pressure, people. And we know that when we serve God, there's a lot of times there's pressure in our walk with God. But there's times where it seems like what we thought would work isn't working, and what we thought should be isn't. It isn't. And we need to in those times do like Abraham and keep walking toward God and trusting in God and serving God. Truth is, it was a hard thing for Abraham to walk away from the world that he lived in. But it didn't stop God from asking him to do it. It didn't stop God from asking him to do it. Abraham had some help. He had Noah. He had Shem still in his life. There was still the stories. There was still the legend and the lore. I think about the prophet Habakkuk, who said in the last chapter, he said, Lord, I've heard of your ways. Lord, I stand in all of your deeds, but Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. Now, Abraham had to have a lot harder hearts cry because the whole culture in the time of Noah had turned away from God and had come back to serving idols, had turned away from the Lord and had gone back to serving false gods. And Abraham, in that culture, God said to him, follow me alone. Knowing the cost, but it didn't stop God from asking. And just like you, when God's calling you to serve him and to follow him, it's not without a cost. It's not without pressure. It's not without real struggle, but it's not going to ever stop. Jesus, this is what Jesus said, these words to me and to you, found in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37 to 39. If you love your father or mother, or even your sons and daughters more than me, you're not fit to be my disciple. And unless you're willing to take up your cross and come with me, you're not fit to be my disciples. If you try and save your life, you'll lose it. But if you give it up for me, you will surely find it. These are hard words. And this is what God's called us to. He's called us to walk out of a culture that is really not relying on him, to a culture that really only relies on him. We may not live in Ur of the Chaldees like Abraham did, and worship in temples dedicated to success and pleasure and sensuality, but those same idols are present in different forms in our culture. The pressure is still here. The pressure to conform. The pressure to do things that are right or wrong depending on what the situation deems necessary. The pressure is no less intimidating for us than it was for him. Here's the one thing. God was not calling Abraham into something worse. God was not calling Abraham because God was trying to give Abraham a hard time or a harder life. God was calling Abraham into a better place. God was calling him into a relationship with him. God was calling him into a place of solitude, I think, to be away from all the sound of idolatry and to really just have time with him. God was calling him into a place of abundance, but was found in the presence of the Lord. God was calling Abraham to something so much better than he had. And here's the thing we should know if we're going to heed the call of God on our life as believers, that God is calling us into something better, that Jesus died to give us a better life, that God called us into something that's better than what we had, and he's doing it for our good. And he's calling us into this life because he loves us and because he's prepared a better life for us. I don't know, do you want to have a better life? I do. I think that one of the cool things to learn from Abraham is this. He did not count the things of this world to be the best things, nor did he ever let his feet get too firmly planted in the soil of this earth. Abraham did not count the things of this world to be the best things. He was a wealthy, wealthy man. If you look back at history, he had so much wealth. The Bible even tells us he had so much wealth. He had an army really with him that could travel and it could take on. He had wealth. He had so much, but he did not count this as important. I love this found in Hebrews chapter 11. We already read it, but I'm going to read it again. It was faith that made Abraham obey when God called him to go out to a country which God had promised to give him. He left his own country without knowing where he was going. And by faith, he lived as a foreigner in that country that God had promised to him. He lived, even though God had promised it to him, even though God had given it to him, he didn't live like that place was his home. Even though God has promised us a good life here on this earth, even though God has promised to bless us here on this earth, it's not home. This is not home. This is not our home place. This is not it. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who received the same promise from God. For Abraham was waiting for the city which God has designed and built, the city with permanent foundations. How many of us are living for an eternal city? How many of us are even thinking about life past this life? How many of us have gotten so bogged down in the affairs of this world that we forgot there's even another world out there that we're really heading for? A better place, a better life, a life with God, a life without sin, a life without all these things that hurt us and cause us problems. Sure, I'll do you a favor. Our cell phones are having problems. They're starting to speak up. How many of us are still looking for that eternal city? How many of us really long for that day when Jesus will come again in the clouds and take us to be with him? When's the last time you thought about that? I always love that song, I Can Only Imagine. I think about it often. We played it at my dad's funeral. And I was thinking about, you know what? You know, like we now, the Bible says, we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. How many of us have ever even thought about that lately, seeing God face to face? This is not our home country. This is not our place. Just this morning, again, I looked at the sky and I asked God, so today, could it be today that you'll come? So I'm longing for that day. Not because I have a bad life, not because everything here is horrible. Everything here is really, really good. I have a great life. I have a great wife. I have great kids. Part of a great church. Life is sweet. But life there is way sweeter. Life with Jesus for eternity. Think about that. I long for that day. I long for it. And he wants us to long for it. He wants us to look for it. This day, he's coming back. He's going to return. He's going to take us back to himself. We don't live here. This is not our home. Jesus calling me and you today, the same way he called to Abraham back then. Leave all that old way behind. Leave the idols behind that you worship and go to a place where I will show you. Abraham did. Abraham realized this thing that there was work to be done where he was, but that this world was not his home. We have to realize that there's work to be done here. There's things we need to do. We need to reach out and touch lost people, but this is not our home. This is not where we belong. We have a home in heaven with God. There's a bigger place. So many times we get so focused and it's so hard to keep walking with God when we just think about this life. When we get so wrapped up in getting and accumulating and surviving and you know, trying to build and all these things. But God just wants us to rest in Him and follow Him. I think that takes a lot of faith. I think Abraham had to have a lot of faith to walk away from his family, to walk away from, you know, the things that were secure, the things that were solid, the things that he could see, to look past what he saw, even with Sarah and her barrenness, and continue to just worship the one true God. God's calling us to that too. And if we'll do that, if we'll take a step, maybe we need to take a step and just sit back today and just think about, what have I allowed to become a God in my life? What have I looked to for what I need more than I look to God for it? And turn from that. Take a step. It's an amazing journey we're on. Second thing I want to talk about today is God kept calling Abraham to go forward and farther, even when he stopped to rest along the way. The Bible says that Abraham left Ur and went to Haran. And there he settled. It probably, if you look at some of the history around Abraham at the time, God called him, and we'll read the scripture in a minute, but God called him when he was in Ur. And he got sort of pushed, history teaches us, out of Ur by war. There was some fighting going on, and to be safe, they moved their herds and everything over to Haran. And there he settled, the Bible said. And God, though, did not let him stop there. Isn't it amazing that how often we get a good start running toward God? How often we can get ourselves focused? We can say, for this week, I'm going to do good. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to spend time with God. I'm going to do what God asked me to do. I'm really going to focus on Him. And then as things go on and as time goes on and we settle in and we just start to settle and we start settling for mediocre relationships. We start settling for mediocre life. We start settling for a mediocre relationship with God. And God wants to keep calling us forward, not to pound on this point, but we often let our lives settle into life on this earth when a better place has been promised to us. I use this quote often, but I love this quote. It's by C.S. Lewis. And it says this. I actually have it on the screen this time, so it's easier to, I find sometimes when you can read it, it's easier to understand. We're half-hearted creatures, fooling about with food and drink and lust and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. Like an ignorant child who wants to keep on making mud pies in the slums because he cannot imagine what is meant by the offer of a vacation at the beach. If I really wanted to be happy, I would seek God. Oh, but God is abstract. It takes effort to reach God, so I settle. I settle for weak amusements that require no effort. What a lazy fool I am. So many times we're walking down the road with God and God's calling us to a place. God's calling us somewhere. God's pushing us and calling us and taking us somewhere, and we just want to stop. We want to rest. And even in that time, God was calling to Abraham. This is a note out of Henry's commentary. It said, if God loves us and has mercy in store for us, he will not suffer us to take up our rest anywhere short of Canaan, but will graciously repeat his calls till the good work begun be performed and our souls repose in God only. I'll read it again. If God loves us and has mercy in store for us, he will not suffer us to take up rest anywhere short of Canaan, but will graciously repeat his calls till the good work begun be performed and our souls repose in God only. It's really important to keep listening to the call of God. Our human nature will help us to settle. Our human nature will make us just stop. Our human nature does not want to go always where God wants us to go, but God will keep calling. In Acts chapter 7, verse 2 and 3, as Stephen was about to be martyred, he gave a speech, and this was part of his speech. He said, "Friends, listen to me. Our glorious God appeared to our ancestor Abraham while he was still in Mesopotamia. Before he had moved to Haran, God told him, 'Leave your country and your relatives and go to a land that I will show you.'" So he was in Mesopotamia, and God appeared to him in glory. Can you imagine? Like, I mean, we read the story of Mary. We read these different stories about when people have an encounter with God. But Stephen said that he actually saw the glorious God, and God called him to go from Ur to Canaan to make that trip. And now here we are in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, in Haran. And the Lord said to Abraham, "Leave your country, your family, and your relatives," because he was there with his dad, and he was there, dad, the idol maker, right? And then he was there with his nephew Lot and with some others. And the Lord said, "Leave your country, your family, and your relatives, and go to the land that I will show you. I will bless you and make your descendants into a great nation, and you will become famous and a blessing to others. I will bless anyone who blesses you, but I'll put a curse on anyone who puts a curse on you. Everyone on earth will be blessed because of you." It's an amazing promise. Abraham was 75 years old when the Lord told him to leave the city of Haran. He obeyed and left with his wife Sarah, his nephew Lot, and all the possessions and slaves that he got there while in Haran. God called him again. Today, if you're a believer and you started this journey with God and today you're stuck, listen today for the voice of God. Listen to him as he calls you and says, "There's more for you. There's further to go. There's another step in this journey that I have for you. We're not going to stop now. Let's move on." Abraham had moved partway toward the land that God would show him. And then he settled down and started getting comfortable. We often try to do that same thing, but the God who loves us is calling us to come further up and further in. So this morning, I'm going to play a song as we close. It's a song everybody knows. It's called "I Surrender All." I'm just going to ask you to stay in your seats. You can bow your heads. Just take a little bit of time this morning with God. And just say, "God, if I've settled," maybe some of you here today have never given your hearts to the Lord. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus. Maybe you've never decided to follow him. This morning, he's calling you. He's saying, come to this place that I'll give you. Come. And Jesus said, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." If you're that person this morning, just bow your head and just invite Jesus to become your Lord. Just ask him to come into your heart. Ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he will. I promise he will. It'll change your life. And if you're here this morning and you're walking, and I think we can, if we're all honest, we all have places where we've settled. So as we play this song this morning, if you just bow your head, just take, I think the song is about 5 minutes long. Just take this time just to listen. Allow God to speak to you. And if there's areas where he reveals that you've sort of settled, you've sort of got stuck, this morning I just ask you to give it to him.